Tonight, go ahead and turn your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're continuing. This is week two. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We started last week. Harry had a message, a general message about the gifts of the Spirit, and then I'm going to continue tonight with that. And I guess we're calling it flow. Yes, we are. We're flowing. And we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to take off here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1 as we study tonight. And this is the Apostle Paul writing. He's writing to the church at Corinth, and it's a letter he expects all the churches to read, but he's writing particularly to them about things that are going on in their churches, in that church particularly. And he says in verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." And every time I read that verse, I always smile. I always have to kind of little check back a laugh. Because one of the first series I ever did at Good News Church, way back in the very beginning, was a series called Eradicating Ignorance About Spiritual Gifts. It just makes me laugh to think about how funny that was. Some of you might remember. Mike, you still listening to those tapes, aren't you? The one thing that I would say as I look back on that is there was a whole lot of ignorance to eradicate, and it needed it. So, starting with me and my own ignorance, but we started out, it's interesting as I look back on it, just on Sunday morning at the end of the service, I was talking a little bit about, you know, the beginning of our church. One of the things that when we started our church that we determined we would have is we would not be a church that only was a church of God's word, though that we would be a church of God's word, but we would be a church of God's spirit, his presence, a church that experienced God's power. And so that was really part of the reason early on that I just, you know, the Lord led me, I believe, to study about the gifts of the Spirit and to not be quite as ignorant as I had been before, and to help others to eradicate their ignorance. Now, in this verse, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." Now, and if you have, if you're reading in the New King James, that's how it reads. And in the New King James and in the King James, I don't know if this is true for every version of the Bible, but the word gifts is italicized. Is it like that? And any of you have that in your Bible? Some of you, you don't even have Bibles anymore. You've just grown beyond having a Bible. But anyway, the word gifts is italicized. And anytime you see that in Scripture, the reason those words are italicized are those are words that the translator put in to help bring what they determine to be the meaning or the, you know, they're trying to bring light to you. That word gifts, in other words, is not in the original manuscript. But the translators added the word gifts. They're the ones that came up with the word gifts. That wasn't really God's word. It was something that the translators came up with, this idea of gifts. And they put that in there just to try to, bring more understanding or light to this concept. But most of the time in the scripture where they've done that, that really does help. But here in this particular situation, I think it's interesting to look at it without the word gifts. And really, originally it was written now concerning spirituals. And really, in some translations say it this way, they say, now concerning things that pertain to the Spirit. So we sometimes get caught up in the thought of gifts of the Spirit, and then, of course, the other thing is the fruit of the Spirit, and so we get gifts and fruits. And I've even seen people get completely mixed up with the gifts and the fruits, and they're all kind of jumbled together, and so I've seen all kind of things happen. But I want to move away from the idea of this being just about spiritual gifts, and I want to talk tonight a little bit about that the Holy Spirit was writing through Paul about spiritual things, about the way the Holy Spirit manifests himself, the way it looks to us when the Holy Spirit manifests himself, things pertaining to the Spirit and the operation of the Spirit. How does God operate among us? How does he show himself? How does his power flow among us? And what does it look like? And that's what this is about. Now, I want to tell you that this church that Paul was writing, the church at Corinth that he was writing to, as you read these next several chapters, one thing is apparent. This is not a church who had no spiritual manifestations. But rather, it was a church that would be what we would maybe call a church that was in excess. I think Harry used the word last week, flaky. It's a church that they were just going for it, and they had so many things happening that Paul was trying to bring some order And he was trying to, you know, using his apostolic authority to sort of bring order. And because it had gotten to the point, there was just confusion. There were people, you know, and I don't know if you've ever been in the service where this kind of thing's happening. But I know when I was a kid, you know, I grew up when the charismatic renewal came in about the same time I did. And so that's kind of where I grew up. And there was all kind of things that happened. And what sometimes people call, we don't use that term charismatic very much anymore. But that was a real big, I was there when they coined that term, so to speak. And I remember being in a service where, I just as a little kid, I remember saying, well, that was dueling prophets. Because there was a prophet in this section, so to speak, a prophet over here, and this one would have a word, and this one would have a word, and it seemed like this word was trying to cancel out that word. And then they would go back here, and then it'd go back here, and they were like dueling back for, Claire, I bet you've been in a service like that, the dueling prophets, you know. And you had that, anybody ever had any kind of experience with that? And so it can be confusing. And Paul was saying, look, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. We need to bring some order and we need to get some understanding about it. Now, sadly, that same thing is not necessarily happening a whole lot in the church today. I mean, in some ways, wouldn't it be better if it was just trying to bring order? Because there's so many things happening, you're trying to bring order. So today, really, a lot of the ignorance that's in the church today is that these things are not even for today. That's one place of ignorance, is that this isn't even for today. And then another point of ignorance today is that that's just for a few select people at a certain, you know, time and place, and it's not really something that is for everybody. Some people, a lot of people, even spirit-filled people, have come to believe that these are not things that should be even happening in a church service. I had a pastor of a, I don't know how to describe him, but a pastor who knew a lot better said to me one time, I don't even think the gifts of the Spirit should ever be in a service. They're not even for church services. Well, I will agree with him in the fact that they are not just for church services, certainly, but they should be for all believers everywhere. So they should be in service, but not just in service. They should be out and about in a small group, in the marketplace. They should be in Walmart. They should be, you know, at the school. But they should be in service too. And what Pastor Matt often says to us is that this is the place we come, we learn, we practice. And so if we aren't comfortable here with things, we're not going to be comfortable out there. So that's one of the reasons why it is really necessary that we have the gifts of the Spirit in our church services. Besides the fact that, as you read on, these gifts are given for the edification of the church. So when we're together, we should be edified. That's part of what we do when we come together, is we edify, build each other up. And one way the Holy Spirit does that through us is through manifesting himself. So these are just some things, you know, just as I'm getting started here tonight, talking to some things I wanted to bring up to you about the ignorance that's there, but we can't get camped out here, or we won't get out of here like we should. Now, he is writing to bring some order, but one of the reasons we are doing this series is because we want to stir up your expectancy. And if you don't know about these things, and it's just kind of some book, you know, some chapters in the Bible you just skim through and don't really pay much attention to, or maybe never even get near, then I want you to, during this time, I want you to read it. I want you to be open to what the Holy Spirit would say to you. Because one thing that I found in those early days when I was doing a series on eradicating ignorance, like I said a moment ago, the person who had the most ignorance eradicated was me. And one thing that happened as a result of my study of the gifts of the Spirit and of these passages, and then looking in the scripture to see what he described here, to see when they actually happened, is these gifts began to flow in my life in a much greater way. So I believe that will happen as you learn more about it. You'll get interested in them. You'll maybe start studying about them. And I believe they'll start flowing in your life too. So this is where the concerning spiritual things, or the way that God manifests himself by his Holy Spirit, or things pertaining to the Spirit, we're not going to be ignorant. Say, I don't want to be ignorant. Do you want to be ignorant? Some people like being ignorant. I think they're like, I don't really want to know. I want to know.
And you should want to know too. And then verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now here we are at verse 4. It says here, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And Harry spent a good bit of time last week discussing those kinds of things. And now we're at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So they're profitable, and they're profitable for all of us. So it's given for the profit of all of us. And now here are the gifts listed. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. So that's one of the gifts of the Spirit. That's one way that the Holy Spirit manifests himself, is through a word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. It is interesting how many times he talks about the same Spirit. Over and over, even back to verse 4. The same Spirit. There's something about the same Spirit. I'm going to just stop right there for a moment. I'm going to say this, that I believe one reason he keeps emphasizing the same Spirit over and over as we read through these is he wants you to know it's not somebody over there doing something and somebody over there doing something, but it is actually the same Holy Spirit doing it all. So it should naturally flow together. And the best way that I can see the gifts of the Spirit operating in everything that happens in a church service or everything that happens among God's people should be akin to a symphony where there's a big, you know, conductor standing in front of the symphony who is orchestrating everything that's happening so that you don't have mass chaos. And that's true in a church service. You really need the flow of the Holy Spirit and everybody be tuned into the Holy Spirit so we're all by the same Spirit. Things are being ordered and things are happening, but not just in that way, but across the whole body of Christ. There is one conductor conducting us all, the family of God throughout the world. It's the same Holy Spirit that's in Nigeria, where Matt was earlier this year, that's over with Rosalind in India. I was talking to her today about some of the things happening there. Same Holy Spirit there. Same Holy Spirit here. Same Holy Spirit out in Tulsa, where Harry just went. It's the same Holy Spirit down in Peru with our friends down there at Mas Vidas. It's the same Holy Spirit that's in China. It's the same Holy Spirit over in Sri Lanka, where we have the I Give Life teams doing training over there. It's the same Holy Spirit down with our friends in Australia. And in every other place where they have received Jesus as Lord and the Holy Spirit has come upon them, come within them, and particularly where he's come upon them, that's the same Holy Spirit. So he's working in all those places, all at the same time. And so he's edifying all of us and building us all up in all those places through his work. So what we're doing, it shouldn't be a surprise that what we're doing is akin to what someone else is doing. I remember one of my favorite prophecies about the end time was given in 1908 in Los Angeles, California, by Daddy Seymour. It was towards the very end of the Azusa Street revivals, and Daddy Seymour got up and he gave a prophecy. But one of the most interesting things about the prophecy that he gave, which is part of the gifts of the Spirit we'll read in a moment, is that at the same time, almost the exact same time, on the East Coast in New York, Charles Parham gave almost the exact same prophecy. Why is that? Because it's the same Spirit. The same Spirit. And it's interesting, when the Holy Spirit moves among his people, you'll hear the same thing in different corners and different places, and you'll start to hear the same, because it's the same Holy Spirit. That's one way we know it is the Holy Spirit. When there's no agreement, no one's ever heard of it before, nobody else is doing it, it makes you wonder, is that really God? Because the Holy Spirit is in all of his people. And so there will be a continuity, there will be an agreement, there will be a flow even among God's people around the world. Okay, so we'll just go back. We'll go back to verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So we go through and we see these gifts, and if you counted them, you would find there are 9 different distinct gifts listed here. Now, one way that people talk about these gifts, and this is the way we've chosen to follow in these next 3 weeks, we're going to go in depth over all the gifts and talk about them. That's not my assignment tonight, to go and talk individually about these gifts, so I'm not going to do that. But one way that people classify them is in 3 categories. And they basically, the vocal gifts or the gifts of utterance, we're going to be talking about those, I think, maybe next week. Those are prophecy, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So those are gifts that all say something. They all work through the mouth. They all say something. There's some kind of speaking involved in all 3 of those. And then there are the revelation gifts. That's gifts that have to do with something being revealed, the light coming, something being unveiled, and that's the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And then the final third of them, we call, one way to classify them is call them the power gifts. And those are gifts that do something, and they do something sometimes spectacular, but always something supernatural. And those are the gift of faith, working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. So that's kind of 3 ways to think about them or classify them. And that's not necessarily, you know, there's not a chapter and verse that uses those 3. These were just ways that people over time have come to classify them, just to talk about them and study them and see what they have in common. But you won't find those terms, power gifts, revelation gifts, vocal gifts, in the scripture. But that is what is happening just by observation. That's what you see. Now, we'll be talking about, like I said, in the days to come, in the next 3 weeks, rest of August, we'll be talking about specifically the vocal gifts. We'll have a night. We'll dedicate it just to vocal gifts. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what those gifts are, and then we're going to go through the scripture, and we're going to see how all of these gifts have been part of God's plan and his work among his people from the beginning. They're all the way, they're in the Old Testament, they're in the New Testament. So they didn't pass away. They started out with, as long as there's God's moved among people, he's moved in these ways. And so you see him continuing to move in these ways in our day. And he, I believe, wants to move this way, these ways, even more than we think he does, right? And in light of that, I want to call your attention to verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, I want to point this out because this is an important point as we study these. First of all, the Holy Spirit in his work among us, the way he manifests himself, these spiritual gifts, they come at the will of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are many things in the scripture where we're told to receive it or to take it, and it's in the option, so the ball, so to speak, is in our court. We are the ones who decide to get saved. We call on the name of the Lord and we receive him. You know, we receive the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of things that we receive, and we've talked about this in here before, that the word receive isn't just a passive word like we let it fall on us, but that we actually take it. Just like the guy who's going out to catch the winning touchdown, and he leaps through the air and grabs the ball and brings it in and holds on to it. That's the picture of receiving in the scripture, that receiving, taking. Well, these are not things that we have to take like that. These are things that come as the Spirit wills. It's the only time, really, that I'm thinking of right now that you really see this in the scripture is in this particular way, describing these 9 functions or operations of the Holy Spirit and how he works. But it's as he wills. But you know, I have heard people talk about, well, the gifts of the Spirit are just as he wills, you know, and really dwell on that point, almost insinuating that there are going to be few manifestations, they're going to be very rare, going to be, you know, almost unheard of, because, you know, it's just as he wills, as if to say he doesn't will them very much. But the news tonight is this: he wills them far more than you think he does. He wants to demonstrate himself. He wants to make himself known. He wants his people to walk in his power, in his glory, to show forth his compassion and his goodness. He wants it to. But they don't happen, although they happen at his will, they do not happen without our cooperation. And so if we don't expect them, we won't cooperate. If we don't know he wants to do them, if we don't even know that he what they are, if we don't even know how he works, so to speak, we're not going to be able to work effectively with him if we're not aware of how he works. So that's really what we're talking about, is when he wants to initiate and do something. There are plenty of times in the scripture where we can initiate things, and there we can initiate great things. But this is him initiating something. But even when he wants to initiate something, we have to cooperate with him. So you and me need to be aware that he might be initiating one of these things. He might be starting something, and he needs you to be working with him. He needs you to be aware. He needs you to be tuned in. He needs you to flow. And so that's why we're talking about this. But just get it through your, you know, very receptive mind. Get it in your very receptive mind that you have by faith, that he wants to do this, and he wants to do it through you. These things we're talking about, he wants you to flow in them, and he's eager. And he's really just been, you know, like kind of waiting on us. The Bible says he's been looking to and fro throughout the earth. He's looking for somebody he can show himself strong in their behalf. God, it shows the eagerness of God, that God's eager to show his power, his goodness, to do something great and mighty. He's that's who he is. He loves to do that. He loves to show. In fact, the Bible says that in the ages to come, he will show us his goodness, his succeeding greatness of his kindness towards us. We'll see that. Eternity is going to be a show of God's goodness. Well, you know what? He wants to show it now. He's wanting people to see how good he is. What do y'all think he did when he sent Jesus? He was showing the world his love. That's what Jesus said in John 3. He sent Jesus to demonstrate his love for us. And he still wants to show people his love. And how can he do that? Well, he can do it by healing. He can do it by miracles. He can do it by words that encourage people. He can do it by words of wisdom and words of knowledge and several other ways that we're talking about. And so just go ahead and open up and say, hey, this is something good, something for me. It's something God wants to do. He wants to do it for all of us. He wants to do it through all of us. These are great things. Amen? Okay, so that's what I want you to see tonight, that the will of God, these come at the will of God, but he's more willing than what we often think he is. Now, I want to go back over a couple of these gifts, though, that we're going to break them down later in more specifics. I'm going to talk about a couple of things. And one of them is back in verse 8. If you can click back to verse 8 up there for me. It says, for to one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. A couple of things I want to say right there. Notice it says the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. I want to just notice that's not a plural word. It doesn't say the words of wisdom and the words of knowledge. And I think that's important, because sometimes when people start flowing in these gifts, they get rather, wordy. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, they get rather wordy, and it can just go on and on and on and on and on. So I just wanted to point that out. There's just one thing. But I'm wanting you to see the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Because one misunderstanding about the word of wisdom is that it is just general wisdom. That it's just, you know, God, you know, you're a wise man, you have the gift of wisdom. And so you're a wise man. And people, there are people that seem to have better sense than other people. I don't know exactly why. I attribute it to their mother, I think. But I attribute most good things to people's mothers. Okay. No, I'm just teasing. Just kind of only halfway. But anyway, I think, though, that we look at people, and I've heard this. I've heard people say, he's a wise man. He has the gift of wisdom. Well, first of all, the Bible doesn't ever say there is a gift of wisdom. That is not a term that's in the scripture. This is a word of wisdom. And if you want to term it a gift, it would be the gift of the word of wisdom. It's not a gift of wisdom. And it's certainly not, well, you know, he's a wise man. He just has the gift of wisdom. That's not what this is talking about. Wisdom, I tell you, Proverbs tells you a lot of things about wisdom. One thing it tells us is that wisdom is crying aloud in the street, saying to you, simple one, dummy, how long are you going to be simple? Stupid one, how long are you going to be stupid? That's what wisdom's crying aloud in the street. It's got news for you. So there is wisdom for everybody, but that's a different thing than this word of wisdom. And so we'll talk more about what it is, but I think that's really important that you realize as we look through these, that these things are not maybe how they've always been interpreted and maybe the way you've thought about them. Same thing with word of knowledge. And then it goes on in verse 9, to another faith by the same spirit, to another gifts of healings. There's a very common belief in the body of Christ that gifts of healings are doctors, medical science, that's the gifts of healings, that people that, you know, are in nursing or in medicine and those things, that they are operating in the gifts of healings. There's other people that they're so mixed up. In fact, Matt's mother always tells him he has the gift of health, referring to this, that he has the gift of health. And Matt always says, amen, I sure do. But not because he thinks he has what this is talking about, but he knows he's gifted with health because of what Jesus did for us all in his death, burial, and resurrection. He took stripes on his back to give Matt the gift of health, and to give you the gift of health too, if you didn't know that tonight. You have the gift of health. But that's not a reference to this. This isn't like some people are just specially gifted and they, you know, they look good as they age, or, you know, they feel better, or they can still ref games when they're 70 years old like Kelly Taylor. That's not what this is about. But that is a kind of a misunderstanding that people have. I'm just kind of clearing up a little ignorance tonight so we can get on and talk about the gifts more specifically. And then right here where it says, well, I think I skipped over it verse 9, to another faith by the same spirit. This isn't just talking about like you having faith in God, the faith that we receive from God with, the faith that we receive salvation and everything that we receive from God. It's talking about a special kind of faith. It's talking about a faith that is not just the normal faith that you and I have. I think that's important because, you know, all of us have faith. Romans 12:3 says this. It says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You see that? Everybody has faith. Everybody has a measure of faith. And then Romans, y'all know Romans 10:17 tells us how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, I'm the one that determines if faith's coming to me, because all I got to do to get faith is hear the word. But I just read to you from verse 11 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that these gifts come as a result of the will of the Spirit. Not me deciding I'm going to hear the word and get faith. So that just those two things, I know that this is talking about something other than faith. Faith like Bible faith, believing, trusting in God. They all come from God, obviously, but this is talking about a special way God operates in giving people special faith. We'll learn more about that. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is because... Well, I got one more, and then we'll move on. Discerning of spirits. Notice here it doesn't say discernment. And a lot of times people think, and they talk about this gift of the Spirit as if it is discernment. Discernment like, you know, I was talking to somebody, and they were telling me something, but I discerned that what they were telling me was not true. And they even attribute that maybe to God, the Holy Spirit's work. But that in itself is not the discerning of spirits. It's there's no gift of discernment listed here. It's the gift of discerning of spirits. It's entirely different from that. So you see what I'm saying? There's been a lot of things that we've probably misthought about the gifts of the Spirit. And this is the one I brought all this up for, because I want to talk about this. And it is the idea of the gift of tongues. Have any of y'all ever heard of the gift of tongues? Do you know there is no such thing as the gift of tongues? Not in the way that people use it, because people attribute the gift of tongues to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in this verse right here in verse 10. And we probably even use that term at some time or another, but it's actually not in the Bible, because the Bible says to another different kinds of tongues, or the King James says diverse kinds, diverse, a diversity of tongues. It doesn't say the gift of tongues. It's different kinds of tongues. Now, I bring this up because all the time when I talk to people about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one of the most common things that people say to me is, I have the Holy Spirit, but I don't have the gift of tongues. Have any of y'all ever kind of battled with that whole thing about the gift of tongues and do you have the gift of tongues? As if you can have the Holy Spirit and even be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but not get this part of the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues. Well, this right here in the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when it's talking about tongues, is not talking about you and me praying in the Spirit, what we call speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit. Here's one reason that I'm just going to read you several reasons why I wrote these down, because I think this is important as we go through this. One of the ways I know it's not talking about my prayer language that I received when I spoke in tongues when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, that hikimoshanda thing you can do, okay, is because in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus is telling his disciples, this is when he told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he said to them, these signs will follow those who believe. And when he says that, he mentions specifically the last part, they will do what? They will speak with new tongues. Now notice there's no qualification for speaking with new tongues except believing. You notice that? And if you go and read in Mark chapter 16, there is no qualification in any of this except believing. Now you remember I read to you verse 11 where it says that these gifts that are described in what we're studying tonight, the gifts of the Spirit, these come and are in operation as the Holy Spirit wills. But here it's saying this speaking in tongues, Jesus talked about speaking in tongues in the life of a believer, and he's actually talking to every believer because he says, all you have to do to qualify for this is to believe. So these are things that are part of every believer's life. They're available for every believer. What we've been reading about says that these are under the unction of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he initiates them and he distributes them to each one as he wills. It talks about to one this and to another that. But what we're seeing here in verse 17 of Mark 16, this is for everybody. And as you know, if you really read and study this, these are the signs of believers. That if you want to see if somebody's a believer, these are the signs that indicate they're believers. Because these are things that happen in their lives. Because this is what believers do. And around here, we call this part of the ministry of the believer. It's what believers do. Every believer speaks in tongues. As far as Jesus was concerned, that's what they do. Okay, but see, there's a difference here between every believer speaking in tongues and what these different kinds of tongues are that Paul is writing about. Y'all see that? And then, Acts chapter 2, when verse 4, I'm not going to take time to go over there and read, but because we've studied so much about Pentecost these last few months. But in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and they all began to speak in tongues. It wasn't like there were three of them or, you know, there were 120 there. It wasn't like three of them or 10 of them or even two-thirds of them, 72 of them or whatever spoke in tongues. They all spoke in tongues. Well, the description here in 1 Corinthians 12, again, is that not everybody is going to do all of these things, and they're going to do them as initiated by the Holy Spirit, not initiated by the believers. So there it shows again, even in practice, and if you keep reading in Acts, you see it again. In practice, people were filled with the Holy Spirit, and as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. So that's one experience, one description, but here Paul's talking about something else. He even uses this term, different kinds of tongues. And then finally, I will say this. Those of you who are baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, you and me, all of us who do, we know this. We know we can speak in tongues whenever we want to speak in tongues. Can you speak in tongues whenever you want to? Just, you know, real, just quiet there so you don't disturb me, ma'am. Let's just speak in tongues for a minute. Okay, we can stop. Right then, you initiated that. You are the one who spoke in tongues. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, that these gifts that are written about are as the Spirit wills. He initiates them. So there again, that's at least three places in Scripture that we see that all that man has initiated something and not the Holy Spirit. So there is something different. He's not just talking about tongues, just in general, one kind of tongues, and either you get this special gift or you don't. That was good. Okay. I'm just saying it was good because people don't, that you talk about ignorance, this is a huge point of ignorance. It is. It's a huge point of ignorance. Even spirit-filled people call it the gift of tongues and they think this is what it's talking about, and it's not. You'll find out later what it is talking about, but it isn't talking about that. Now, here's one thing that's really important as I go through all these nine gifts. One thing for you to understand, I learned this from Brother Hagin, I can't improve on it, and it's really good. And he said, and I've certainly experienced this, that though we'll talk about these nine gifts and describe them in different ways, they don't function on their own. It's almost impossible to have a word of knowledge without some other gift flowing with it. They work together. And he describes it like fingers on a hand, that the gifts are like fingers on a hand. They are distinct. I mean, I do have a pinky finger and a thumb, but I tell you, my pinky finger doesn't do very much in my life unless it's working with my other fingers. You know, every now and then my thumb might get me a ride somewhere. Not really true, but, you know, we can use our thumbs every now and then for something. But in reality, if you think about how you use your fingers all day, you use them with all your other fingers. They work together. And that's how the gifts of the Spirit are. And you'll see as we go through and talk about these individually, you'll see that it's sometimes very difficult to even describe when the Holy Spirit's in operation and manifesting himself, and you see an account in the Scripture. It's very difficult to say, okay, that's a word of knowledge. No, actually, that's a word of wisdom. Actually, it was a prophecy. It can be very difficult to actually pin it down to exactly what it is, because in reality, it's several gifts working together. They work together. So it's not about, let's get this classification system so we can put labels on everything and so we can, you know, tuck it away somewhere and feel, you know, like we did a good job, like the good spiritual scientists that we are. No, it's just about getting general understanding about these things and knowing that they're going to work together. They're going to work together. And not only do they work together in this way, they will work together with us. There will be diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues could be two people operating, but the same manifestation, really. You know, it's two different gifts, but the same thing, and word of wisdom and word of knowledge, and you see all kinds of things like that. Or you may have a word of knowledge. Terry might have a word of knowledge, and I have a word of knowledge about the same situation, the same thing, and they flow together. So they work together like this, but they also work among us together. It's really interesting when the Holy Spirit gets to operating, because the Holy Spirit, just like the gifts of the Spirit aren't just individual things, the Holy Spirit doesn't just see us as individuals. We're all part of a body together. And he wants to work us all together. And one of the most beautiful things you can ever experience is when you see the body of Christ flowing together. When you see us working together. It's amazing. And you know, it's some of the, to me, some of the most startling manifestations of the Holy Spirit that I've ever experienced have been so personal that you would never know it. Because it would be the Lord, I'm sitting on the row there, and the Lord showed me something, and the next thing I know, Nate got up, and he said the very thing that the Holy Spirit gave me a word of knowledge, and Nate got up and gave it. And I mean, it would mean nothing to you for me to stand up and say, I had that too. But to be me, and to see the very thing that I had no way of knowing come up inside of me, and Nate, who had no way of knowing himself, the same Holy Spirit spoke it to both of us. How supernatural, but yet kind of normal. Kind of normal, but yet incredibly supernatural. Just things, that's how, you know, over and again, I've seen God's power manifested so beautifully, but I know he wants us to work together with them. And I think that's something we should all consider, how he wants to use us together. Now, let's go on down. I'm rushing through. Let's go on down to chapter 14 and verse 1. And then let's talk about this for just a minute. It says in verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, when we turned from chapter 12 to chapter 14, we skipped over chapter 13. Chapter 13 is one of the most famous chapters in the whole Bible. It's the chapter that describes love. It describes the very character and nature of God himself. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the love of God, his very nature, is sandwiched between the descriptions of how the Holy Spirit manifests and operates and instructions for working with them in a corporate environment. I don't think there's any, you know, there's any coincidence. I think that everything about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit have to do with the love of God. And he says, pursue love. And Harry really talked about that a lot last week, that everything flows out of God's love. And if you want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, this is the beginning, is to pursue love. What does that mean? It means that you really start seeing people the way God sees them, that you flow, give your heart over to his compassion for people, that you start, you know, letting your heart be moved by compassion for people. And the more you do that, the more God's power will flow through you. His power flows where his love flows. He leads with love. It's his love that even starts the repentance process in people's lives. It's his love that draws people in. So wouldn't it make sense that his power would always flow, be right behind and with and accompany his love? It's the love. So when you extend love, then right with that comes the manifestations of his power, which is what we've been talking about, these nine ways his power manifests. So it all, that's why it makes such good sense, and why Paul writing this, it just makes good sense that if you want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, hey, don't look for the gifts of the Spirit. Look for the love. Pursue love. And since God is love, it includes seeking God. Seeking him. That's all part of it, seeking him. And at the same time, desire spiritual gifts. There's nothing wrong with desiring spiritual gifts. And it makes sense, because if you love people, you want people to experience God's power. You want them to receive healing and miracles, and you want them to be ministered to by words of wisdom or words of knowledge or you know, all the other. You want them to experience his power. We all know our God has great and mighty power, and we want people to experience it, right? God wants to manifest himself. We want him to manifest himself. And if we'll flow with him, just like it says here, if we'll pursue love and we'll desire spiritual gifts, we'll begin to flow in these. We'll begin to operate in these. We'll see these manifest through us and in our lives and through us. It's all right there. Now, I believe that for the most part, and if you said this just across the whole body of Christ, right now there is not a great desire for spiritual gifts right now. One reason is because of all the ignorance. People don't even know they're for today. They think they passed away a long time ago. So there's that. And then even among people that believe that they're possible, they don't really understand much about how God's power flows, how to tap into it, how to yield. They don't know much about yielding to him, because these flow as he wills, but we cooperate. We have to yield and submit and go with the flow in order for these to operate. So because of our ignorance and our misunderstanding and wrong thinking, I believe those reasons, there's just not a great desire for spiritual gifts. But I want you to desire them more. I want you to leave out of here tonight wanting to know more about them and desiring them more. I want you to, and as we tell stories about them, I think that's going to really stir that up in your life too, stirring up your appetite. When Matt and I were coming back from India, we had been in India for a number of days, and you know, it's kind of a endurance of your flesh when you're there. The food is very foreign, everything is very foreign, but the food particularly is foreign, and though they go out of their way to make us really to serve us great food, it's just very different. I can't even explain to you how different it is. Just really different. And so we're coming home, and we fly back through Amsterdam, and we arrive in Amsterdam early in the morning, and we're unloading from the plane to go in, and we're going to change planes in a little bit. I'm going to get on another plane, and we're coming down the jetway into the Amsterdam airport there. And as we do, that whole jetway is filled with this aroma that's just wafting out of that airport. And you got to realize it's like 6:30 in the morning, and they have just been in there brewing the coffee, toasting the bread. The pastries have just come out of the oven, and that's coming down that jetway, and it meets us. And we're all like, you know, and we start smelling that, and we're like, and it literally was like, you know, suddenly all my tiredness and all my sleepiness is gone, and I'm like, is there coffee? Because I haven't seen coffee in a while, and is there, there's croissants, and they're hot, and oh, and you know, it was just that aroma. And I really believe that in the same way, there's an aroma of the Spirit that he, as you begin to see how he's worked and you begin to see how he's flows, how he's flown, that's not the right word, how he flows, you know, past tense of whatever that flew. I don't know exactly what the word is. How he did stuff in the lives of his people. And as people, you know, we share stories of how he's worked through us. I think it will be like that aroma coming down that jetway. And you'll be like, yes, give me some. I want some. I got to have that. It's available. I didn't know. See, where I was in India, that wasn't available. And I was okay as long as it wasn't available. But when I found out it was available, I had to have it. You know what I mean? It's like, I got to have it now. And I believe you'll be like that. Maybe you didn't know these things were available to you and in your life, but you're going to be where, no, I got to have it. I got to get me some of that. Yeah. I got to taste and see that the Lord, he is good. He is. And that's what I want for you in your life. Now I'm going to close because I've got 2 minutes. Even though I got two of Harry's minutes last week, I won't take them this week. Hallelujah. I just want to tell you a little story I heard this week. I just love this story. I wasn't going to tell you because I wasn't going to tell stories too much tonight. But here's my story. I just heard this. It's great. I told everybody I know. I hadn't told you yet. Okay, it's a great story. So, Nigeria, big churches. There's a pastor over there, a big church. They were going through a big growth spurt. Added 130,000 people to the church in a really short time. It's all in the day's work in the church in Nigeria. God is blazing there. But in that church, they had bunches and bunches and bunches of staff pastors, but there was no way they could have pastors to keep up with the growth, and so they were just worked, morning, noon, and night, lots of work. One of the staff pastors, as a young man, had been in a gang shooting, and he had been shot through his elbow. And so when they had taken him in to fix him up, they couldn't save his elbow, but they had their available, they had an artificial elbow, it was metal. And so they just took out what had been blown up and put in an artificial elbow and connected it so it could work some for him, so he could have some use of that arm, and he had an elbow working. But it had always been something that had caused him some pain. But during this season, when they were working, he came to the point where it was just excruciating pain. And so it was really, really bothering him. And so one night he comes in, he's going to bed, he's got to be back at work early the next morning, but he's going into bed, and the Holy Spirit speaks to him as he's going to bed, and he says, "You've been working hard for me, tonight I'm going to work for you." And he's like, you know, amen, thank you. I don't even know what that means, but yes. He goes to sleep. And then the next morning when he wakes up, as he's getting out of bed, he notices there's something in the bed with him. Oh, and he reaches down and he pulls up that metal elbow joint that had been in his arm. But it wasn't in his arm. And he looked at his arm, and his arm looked normal except it had a brand new elbow in it. Wow. And in his hand was the elbow joint that had been in his arm. During the night, there was a miracle. And he had it, and interestingly enough, on those artificial joints and things that they put, things they insert in people's bodies, they put serial numbers and on them. And so they have that. It's all recorded. That serial number on that elbow joint matches him the day he had surgery, the name of the doctor, the place, everything. It's the one from in his arm, and the one he has is brand new. Now that just That's a little bit of that coffee wafting down. This is how God manifests himself. And he wants to do it a whole lot more than what you and me think. Amen? Praise God. Well, let's stand. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for these gifts and manifestation. And I pray tonight, again at the end, like I did at the beginning, Father, that you would teach all of us, that you would show us things we haven't seen. You would help us to get some understanding. Father, if there's things, and I know all of us, every one of us are blind in areas. Every one of us, Father, are in the dark when it comes to the operation of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And so tonight, we just want you to know we're pursuing love and we're desiring spiritual gifts. That's us. That's what we're doing. And just in this month, all month long, we're talking about this on Wednesday nights. And we're going to come back next week. We're going to listen to all the messages. We're going to be inspired. And we're going to learn. And we're going to grow. And our faith is going to rise. And Father, we're going to submit to you, yield to you. And all of us are going to experience the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives in a much greater way. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen.